Romans chapter 1. I want you to pay close attention again to verse 6. Among whom are you also the called of Jesus Christ? The called of Jesus Christ. I'd like to tell you a cute little story. There was a boss of a big company that needed to call on one of his employees about an urgent problem that he was having with one of the main computers at work. He dialed the employee's home telephone number and he was greeted with a child's voice very quietly, which said, "Hello." And feeling a little put out at the inconvenience of having, first of all, to talk to a child, the boss asked, "Is your daddy home?" And he goes, "Yes." "May I talk with him?" the man said. And to the surprise of the boss, he replied, "No." So wanting to talk with an adult, the boss asked, "Is your mommy there?" "Yes." Quietly came the answer, "May I talk with her?" Again, the little voice said, "No." Knowing that it was not likely that a young child of this age would be home alone, the boss decided that he'd just leave a message with the babysitter, the person who should be there watching over the child. So he asked, "Is there anyone there besides you?"
"Yes,"
said the child.
"A policeman."
"May I speak with the policeman?"
"No, he's busy."
"Busy doing what?" the boss said, now irritated.
"Talking to Daddy and Mommy and the fireman."
Quietly came the answer. Now the boss is growing concerned and even worried as he heard what sounded like a helicopter in the background on the telephone and the earpiece. And he asked, "What's that noise?" And the little boy said, "A helicopter."
"It's a helicopter. They just landed the helicopter."
Now really alarmed, "Why are they there?" Still whispering, the young voice replied along with a little muffled giggle,
"They're looking for me."
Now that's a cute little story. But beloved, in all seriousness, God's children cannot and will not hide from Him. God knows where to find His chosen elect, and He calls them by His grace, and they come every time. For He must needs go through Samaria to call and to save a ruined woman at Jacob's well. He must needs pass through Jericho and come to a place under a tree to call and save a wee little tax collector. He must needs cross the water to a country of the Gadarenes to call and save a man possessed by a legion of demons. He must. He must, for whom He predestinated, He must call, seek, and save. And when He effectually calls, and that word effectual simply means effective. When He is effective in His calling, there will be no hiding, for they will be made to come gladly. Is that not the case with you? Those of you that know God, when He called, in the fullness of time, and He called you by your name, you came and you came gladly. You came gladly. They are the call of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Romans 1:6 tells us. There's no resisting God. There's no hiding, because His call is always effective, always effectual. And His grace is irresistible. For the God of heaven and earth, who does as He wills, how He wills, when He wills, to whom He wills, predetermined before the foundation of the world to call certain. We love that word in Scripture, certain. There was a certain man. There was a certain woman. A certain elect sinner. He calls to repent and to trust in Him as their all and in all. And let me reiterate to you, every single one of them will come. If you turn over a few pages here to Romans 8, I know we're on very familiar ground here. But look at verse 30. Romans 8, 30, Paul says, "Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called." Now, I want you to understand that the word, what the word predestinate means. I know most of you do, but I won't assume anything. It means to predetermine, to determine beforehand, to decide beforehand. It means to decree from eternity past, to foreordain, to ordain something before the time, and appoint before. God predetermined and chose certain men and women in Christ before the world began, and every one of them will come gladly to the one who calls them. Christ said, "All that the Father giveth me, I hope that they will decide to come." No, that's not what he said. That's the way some men preach it. "But they shall come to me." And they shall, there's no doubt about it. You see, free will religion would like you to think that you determined your own destiny. I was raised in it. I know what they believe. They want you to feel as though you determined your own destiny by making your own decision to follow Jesus. That's why they proudly sing that song, "I have decided to follow Jesus." But that's a lie from the father of lies, and that way of thinking and believing, dear friends, will lead only to death, because it's contrary to the Word of God. God decided before the world began who would come to Him. Those He predestinated, He called. The called of Jesus Christ. That's what we're talking about. Look at verse 29, back a verse or two here in chapter 8. "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." God chose a people before the world was ever made. It says before the foundation of the world. And He knew them before they ever came to be. Before they ever were. Speaking of Jacob and Esau, that's exactly what the Apostle Paul said. Before either were born, before either had done any good or evil, that the doctrine of election might stand, it's of Him that calleth. It's Him that chooses. It's of Him that elects. And God said, before the children ever were, "Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated." And that makes men and women mad. Religious men and women, but not the children of God. He loved them and gave them to Christ and predetermined them to be like His Son, being conformed to the image before they were even born. He's the firstborn of many brethren. And He identifies with us by calling us His brethren. By calling me His own. Becoming a sinless man who was Him becoming a sinless man who was made sin for us. It's said of our Lord in the Scriptures, "For having loved His own, which were in the world, He loved them unto the end." Having loved His own. The called of Jesus Christ. Now God knowing me beforehand doesn't mean He knew beforehand that I would be obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ and then call me according to what I did. That's not what it means. His foreknowing meant that I would be obedient. That I would, by His effectual call, gladly come to be one of His beloved children. As I said, that makes religious people mad. I don't know why. Well, really, I do. You know why? It takes salvation completely out of the hands of the creature, the fallen and depraved creature, and declares in no uncertain terms that salvation's of the Lord. And men don't like that because they want to make the difference. But friends, it's God who makes the difference in the saved and the lost. Who maketh thee to differ from another? Well, we know it's God and God alone. So again, this brings me to the subject of my message. Those whom He predestinated, He called. He calls the called. And when He calls the chosen sinner will call on Him in desperation. For God has made him to see his unworthiness and his need of a Redeemer. And when they call upon Him, let me tell you, He always comes to seek and to save them that are lost. Luke 19:10. Now what an example of God's sovereign, irresistible grace, and His calling is found in the story of Lazarus. We all know that story very well. I'm not going to have you turn there, but let me just give a little summation of that story. When our Lord had heard that Lazarus was sick, you can bet He knew that Lazarus had more than just a bad cold. He knew that Lazarus was sick unto death. Why, He had preordained it. He's the first cause of everything. And when the word came to him, he on purpose stayed where he was for another 2 days. Someone said, well, didn't he care? Oh, how he cared. Oh, how he cared. And when the Lord and His disciples finally made their way to Judea, which was where Lazarus and his sisters lived, our Lord told His disciples that Lazarus was asleep and that He was going to wake him up. And the disciples were rejoicing in this because they said, if he sleeps, he must be doing better, must be doing well. But our Lord spoke of his death, the scriptures say, and the apostles thought that the Lord meant he was taking rest. But Lazarus was already dead. Already dead. Because when he got there, he'd been dead 4 days, and the Lord stayed 2 days where he was, so he'd already been dead. By the time the word got to the Lord Jesus, Lazarus was dead. God had already, though, as I said a moment ago, predetermined to choose, love, and to save Lazarus, though he was already dead. And he was about to effectively call him who was dead and make him alive. And that's exactly, now listen, that is exactly what God does in the case of every chosen sinner. We were dead in trespasses and sin. And that's why the apostle said, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. He said in chapter 2, verse 5 of Ephesians, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace are you saved. The call of God, the effectual call of God, is a call of grace. Colossians 2:13, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. That's the best news I ever heard. The Lord told his disciples plainly, Lazarus is dead. He doesn't just sleep, he's dead. And then he said these words. He said, I'm glad for your sake that I was not there. I'm glad for your sake that I wasn't there and that he died to the intent that you might believe. Christ rejoiced for the sake of his 12 best friends that he was not there so that they might see the power of God in raising the dead to life. Do you believe, beloved, that Christ is not only able but willing to save those he predetermined to call and save? See, when our Lord finally arrived, and let me add that he's always been exactly on time. You know, Martha and Mary said, Lord, if you'd been here, like, you know, he was late, but the Lord's never late. He's always on time. He knew that Lazarus had already lay in the grave 4 days. He didn't need for them to tell him that. He knew it. 1 John 3:20 says, our Lord knows all things. That means all things, doesn't it? It doesn't mean just some things. It means all things. And the sister of that dead and corrupt body of Lazarus stands at the side of the tomb, and with tears of heartbreak, she loved her brother. The Lord loved her brother and loved the two sisters, but she loved him, and her heart is breaking. And she said, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he's been dead for 4 days. Now, that's a voice of reason and of nature. You see, Martha was correct, naturally speaking. He'd been dead 4 days. All dead sinners stink in the holy nostrils of God Almighty. But beloved, she forgot the most important thing. By her side there stands a man who is very God of very God. And he gives the command, roll ye away the stone. Roll it away. Oh my, it's going to stink. Roll away the stone. You see, friends, God had predestined to save this dead dog sinner that stunk in the nostrils of God. And he rolled away my stony heart and gave me a heart of flesh. I did not somehow by my own doing rehabilitate my heart and make it better. That's what a lot of men preach. But now, brother, you just straighten up. You try to do better. And God will save you. No, that's not what it is. It's in the self-rehabilitation of our heart. It's dead. It's deceitful. It's desperately wicked. Our heart was beyond repair. And it had to be replaced. God did spiritual heart replacement surgery. And it's successful every time. God, in the fullness of time and at the appointed time of love, spoke to the Holy Spirit concerning me. And He said, roll away the stone. Roll it away. I've often thought what it would have been like to be there that day. Always been infatuated with the story. Sometimes I can just almost hear the Master cry, Lazarus! Lazarus! Come forth. I heard that in my own heart with my own name. Come forth. Come forth. Now there is God's effectual call. What an example it is. It's effectual because it's always effective. In John's account of this story in chapter 11:44, it reads this, and he that was dead came forth. That's the gospel. Dead. Been dead 4 days. Stunk. Roll away the stone. Roll it away. Roll it away. Oh Lord. Let's stand back here. It's going to get bad. Lazarus come forth, and he that was dead came forth. And that's exactly what happened to every child of God. They came forth. Lazarus was bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face about with a napkin. And our Lord said, you loose him, and you let him go. And Lazarus was the called of Jesus Christ. So I say to those of you who trust Christ alone, this is also your story. This is your story, spiritually speaking. You were dead. You were wrapped in the grave clothes of self-righteousness. And at the effectual call of God the Son, you came forth. Because God empowered you to do so. It's just the word of His command. Lazarus, come forth. Oh, if God tells you to come forth, you're going to come forth. In order to distinguish God's people from all other men and women, God gives His redeemed the name of the called, the elect. And I want to give you this morning from Scripture, just briefly, just what this great truth of being the called should be to you and I as people. At the same time, if you're lost in these things, may you see the glorious gospel and the unsearchable riches of Christ. First thing, it's a personal calling. It's a personal calling. The call of God is a personal calling. It's not a call to a nation. Israel was God's chosen people. And he told Moses to tell Pharaoh to go let my people go. He considered them his people. He said, let my people go. But God's effectual call of grace is not a collective call to a nation, but to all that are true Israel. For they are not all Israel which are of Israel, Paul said in Romans 9. It's a call to predestined, chosen, and elect sinners that God predetermined to save before the world began. It's personal. It's personal. It'll do me no good for God to call you. And it'll do you no good for God to call me. God must call me in order to be saved. And just as our Lord was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world, God's people are the chosen who will be called in Christ the Lamb of God, which was in the mind of heart and heart of God, slain before the world was ever made. Before there was a sinner, friends, there was a Savior. And He came to save His own before the world began. Oh, what a mystery. Don't try to figure it out. Just bow to it. It's the truth of Scripture. And does this not again declare that salvation is in the hand of a sovereign God who has mercy on whom He'll have mercy and compassion on whom He'll have compassion? That's what Paul said in Romans 9. Now turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. Just over a few pages if you're still in Romans. 1 Corinthians 1:26. But here Paul says, for you see your calling. You notice what he calls this call? He calls it your calling. It's a personal call. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Now look over to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Ephesians 4, verse 4. Paul says, there is one body, and one spirit, notice these words, even as you are called in one hope of what? Your calling. This is your calling. It's a personal calling. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2. No, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. According as His divine power, and let me just make a comment there, it takes God's divine power to save a sinner. But notice these next words, hath given unto who? Us. His called all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. If you are to be redeemed, dear sinner, the call of God must be personally to you. One might ask, well, how do I know I'm called? Do you love Christ? Do you love Him? Do you trust Him? Is He your all and in all? If yes, this call has been made personal to you. If you love Him, I mean truly love Him. Can't do without Him. Secondly, this call is a holy calling. Look at 2 Timothy with me. Again, chapter 1, verse 9. And you know this verse by heart. But look at it with me in light of the subject of the called. Here, speaking of God Almighty, Paul tells Timothy, who has saved us and called us, what? With a holy calling. Not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now, wherever the call of the gospel is, there is an effectual call, and it's found to be a holy call, making those holy who are called. That's why it's a holy calling. It makes the called holy. There again, that's not hard, is it? You see, notice Paul tells Timothy that it's not according to your works, That's unholy. You can never be saved by your works. Your works of righteousness are filthy rags. Filthy. God called us with a holy calling according to His own purpose and according to His own grace. Therefore, He gets all the glory. You who were once unholy are made holy. Your calling sees to it that you're conformed to Christ who is holy. Look at the verse again. Our holiness was given us, personal, in Christ Jesus before the world began. Our calling is a holy calling, for the author is holy. It's a call to holiness, and the means of it is Christ our substitute who is holy. So it is a holy calling. In Him, we're given principles of grace. Holiness is implanted in us, and we're influenced to live holy lives, though we fail miserably. We're encouraged to live holy lives. We're responsible before God to live out of love in a way that is pleasing to Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. And we fail. We fail every day. But we're responsible to do so. Third thing, it's a heavenly calling. Look at Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. It's a heavenly calling. It's personal, it's holy, and it's heavenly. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Now this confirms our calling as a holy calling, as He calls us holy brethren. Sure, nothing holy about us in and of ourselves. He also lets us know that our call is a heavenly calling. This is a heavenly calling according to the grace of God, and it's by powerful, effectual, and irresistible grace, which only comes from He who reigns on high. The Father of heaven and earth chose and calls and saves His people. It's a heavenly calling. It came from heaven. Mercy said, let that sinner go free. It said, be heavenly, because the grace by which the saints of God are saved is a call from heaven. And it is to heaven that they're called. The means of their calling is the gospel. It's from heaven. Christ came down, condescended down, and dwelt among us. Your calling, dear child of God, is a heavenly calling. Don't ever forget it. And Matthew, our Lord, asked, who do men say that I am? They all begin to answer. One said John the Baptist, others said Elijah, others said Jeremiah, one of the prophets, and he said, who do you say I am? And Peter answered, he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And what did the Lord Jesus say unto him? He said, Simon Bar-Jonah, you're a blessed man. But flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you. Who revealed it to you? Peter? My Father which is in heaven. It's a heavenly calling. Fourthly, it's a sure calling. 2 Timothy 2:19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 28, it says, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a what? A sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. As we mentioned in the beginning, it is sure, for the Apostle Paul said in Romans 8:28, through verse 30, and we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God, who are what? The called. The called according to His purpose. We're called to the purpose of God. For whom He did foreknow, He did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that we might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called. Doesn't stop there. Them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. God chooses. God calls. God saves, and God glorifies. He does it all.
He does it all.
Of these things be sure, and may we rest in Christ. Now, are these just words to you, or are they the promises of God in Christ? What I just read to you in Romans 8 is God's promise. God's promise. He knew you before you ever were. He chose you in the Lord Jesus Christ. He called you, and it's called the call of the Lord Jesus Christ. He called you by Christ. He justifies you in Christ. He glorifies you in Christ. And these are promises to the elect of God. And they're sure. And you can rest in that. You see, being the called of God, we have fellowship with God in Christ. God, who is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Being called of God, we have peace. Being called of God, we have grace. He told the church at Galatia, in Galatians 1:16, He said, I marvel. I'm amazed that you're so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Being called of God, all things work together for our good. Now this is where the rubber meets the road, friends. We know that all things work out together. And you've heard me say, I don't care how heavy a trial, how heavy a tribulation, how horrible a sickness you're going through, if you're a child of God, it's working together for your good. To them that love God, who are the called. The called. I like that name. I'm the called of Jesus Christ. I didn't call myself. I'm called of Him who loved me and gave Himself for me, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. When it pleased God, dear friends, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace. He called me by His grace. The called of the Lord Jesus Christ. That being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. May the Lord call more sheep into His fold.